Pray with me, would you please? Heavenly Father, I want to be faithful to you. I want to be obedient to you. And I want to speak, Lord, what you are speaking. And I want to hear what you're saying. And I pray that you give me a word right now, Lord, that will minister life to every heart here. God, direct me by your Holy Spirit. Shut me in with you, Lord. Put a guard on my lips. I'll say nothing destructive or hurtful, but only that which will build up and edify. Yes, Lord, and transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to be like you, Lord. So we say, whatever it takes, Lord, even if it's painful, we want it, Lord, because we know it's good for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for helping. Amen. Amen. I want to just say a few things before I talk about the subject tonight. This is something that I personally have gone through a season of my life with. And the title of the message is Prayer and Warfare. I actually put this together in probably about 3 hours, which is a very short amount of time, but that's all I seem to be able to have. There's times when I pray and I ask God, and there's times when you're hearing and everything is just flowing, and other times where it's like, oh, what are we going to do, God? But he never lets me down, all right? He always comes through. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight are some things and some areas that I just feel that all of us, including me, need to hone in our lives, that we need to take a consideration of and say, Lord, if there's anything in this that I need to consider, then I'm willing, I'm open, I'm teachable. You know, God will give his grace to us if we're teachable. And the last thing I want to do is in any way single anybody out or, you know, or point fingers. And sometimes when I speak what God is speaking, people will feel like they're being singled out. Well, sometimes they are, but it's not because I have a vendetta or I have a beef with somebody, but because that's just what God gives me, and I have to be faithful to speak what God tells me to speak. And I pray, God, I want to do this in love and in consideration of your people with the utmost respect, okay, for everyone that's here. So when I'm speaking, even though sometimes it may come across hard or harsh or whatever, understand that I love you enough to tell you the truth, and God wants his people to be healthy. And there's some things that I have gone through in my own life that God has redirected me in, some ways that I thought that I was right about. Maybe somebody else would identify with the same thing, right? There's times when we were really sure about a certain way, and then the Lord began to give us a little bit of correction. He began to kind of put us back on the straight path. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we toss stuff around or we repeat things that we've heard or learned or read in a book that is not really scripturally accurate. So our model is Jesus Christ. So whatever we do in practice, in word or in deed, it has to look like Jesus Christ. Amen? And it has to look like the apostles, who were also followers very closely of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. So what I'm going to teach tonight, I believe, is a word from the Lord, and it is a word of instruction, and maybe a readjustment or correction here is in order. But it's only because God wants us to be safe as his people. Amen? He wants us safe. He wants us safe in the truth. The only place that's safe is in the truth. What is truth? Truth is what is real. It is reality. It's what's authentic. Amen? It's not a lie. It's not false. So God wants us safe within truth. And so that's where I want to begin from tonight. And I want you, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Most of us are very familiar with this. But in God's kingdom, everything has order. There is an authority structure in the kingdom. But there's also, I want you to hear this, also in the echelons of hell, in the dark world, amen, of the enemy, there's also authority there too. And there is no authority except from God. All authority is from God. Even in earthly governments, kings, presidents, we might have done the vote thing, but all authority is ordained of God. God has got his hand on those people. And God is, I believe, sovereign over all the earth. And he's very much involved in all the affairs of humanity. And so as followers of Jesus, we have got to be in agreement with God's plan, God's strategy, God's way of conducting spiritual warfare, so that we don't get into trouble. What we are involved with is, it can be very dangerous. We are in a battle, amen, for the very soul of humanity. The devil wants your soul, my soul. He wants to take us out. And sometimes he will present something that seems right, but it's not. And all of us will have to be honest and say, I've been there and I've done that. And I'll probably make mistakes tomorrow, you know. But I want to learn and I want to grow. So it's a safe place, I hope. Everybody understands that we're all in this together. And we're here to learn together, okay? So we're not here to single anybody out or browbeat anybody. But he says this in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Brethren, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The dunamis of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word rendered wiles means that which is traced out with method, or that which is methodized, that which is well laid, skillful or cunning. So the enemy is very cunning, is he not? He's slick. And so he doesn't directly confront us in most cases. Would you agree? He doesn't go toe-to-toe with you and identify himself. He wiggles around and he looks for ways to divert us, distract us, or deceive us. So, verse 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, as we read these, understand that these are echelons of, if you will, government in the spirit realm. Different levels. And I'm not going to dissect it tonight, but I want us just to understand that as we look at that. But principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God. Say the whole armor.
The whole armor.
That means you don't want to be partially armored up, right? Because we are in a battle. If you go to battle and you're not equipped properly, you're going to get hurt. Amen? And possibly taken out. And so God has given us, he's the one that issues the armor for us to wear. So we need to daily be armored up. Each piece, the old hymn says, put on with prayer. You pray for God's covering. Pray for his protection. Pray for that he would armor you up. Amen? Because what we're involved in is bigger than we are. We cannot naturally overcome our adversary. The only way we can do it is by the ability of God or the grace of God. So here it says, because we are engaged in this battle with these princes, these principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms, we need to take up the whole armor of God. And a couple weeks ago, maybe it's a couple months now, I talked to you about the weapons of our warfare. And there's primarily three. And that is the name of Jesus. The name, right? These are the weapons. If you don't know them, write them down and memorize them. But we can invoke the name of the Lord, amen, as his children. The word of God, which is the sword of spirit. And how much, can anybody think of another one? The blood, right? The blood of Jesus. But this has to do with our testimony. It's linked together with our testimony. The blood of Jesus and our testimony. Okay? So that when we testify of the power and the redeeming power of the blood of Christ and what He has done in us and for us, we are prophetically bringing into our right now moment of testimony what God did before for us. In other words, what He did before, God can do right now as we testify to what He did then. That's why it is powerful for you to testify, for me to testify of what God has done in our lives. If you receive a blessing or a miracle, testify. And as you testify of your healing or your miracle or your deliverance, you're bringing that same anointing into the now, right now, for someone else to receive. We've had people healed simply by hearing somebody else testify of their miracle. That's the spirit of prophecy, see? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony is prophetic in that it brings what happened before into the right now. So that's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, now the means of deploying these weapons. This is how we deploy them. By prayer. Just think of three P's. Prayer, number one. Number two is praise. Praise. Some of you know it, you're just not giving it away. Thank you. And the third one is preaching. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. By the spoken word, you see, we defeat the enemy. By speaking, declaring the truth, the lie becomes exposed by the light. That's why the devil wants to keep you out of the Word of God, out of the Bible, amen, out of prayer, and out of praise. Because these are the means by which you bring in, okay, the weapons of God, which is the name, the Word, and the blood. By speaking, declaring, praising, decreeing, if you will, and through intercessory prayer. Intercession means what? To stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. So when we pray, we are to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name, sanctified is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. So when we pray, we need to be mindful of how we are praying. That we understand who we're addressing. When you address somebody, when you talk to somebody, you talk to them usually by what? Name. So we are to pray in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. Amen? Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Just don't speak out into the air. Identify who you are praying to. Our Father who art in heaven. Heavenly Father. Holy Father. And then, number one, we are not to wage war in our own ability. We're not to wage war in our own understanding or wisdom, but only as God directs us by His Spirit. You see, when we pray, we have to be very mindful of what God is saying, so that we can pray His will. Because if we pray His will, we know what? He hears us. And if He hears us, we know He's going to answer that prayer. So we need to know His voice so we can pray His will. And when we pray His will on the earth, it's released from heaven to be done. Amen? Pray for the kingdom to come and the will of God to be done where? On earth. Just right. And just like it is there in heaven. So there's a connection. That's why prayer is so powerful and so important for us. But folks, how we pray is equally important. And these are some things that God is still teaching me. But I want to share with you because I believe what I'm going to say is going to be helpful for you. And also, it will also protect you from getting into areas where we shouldn't go with prayer. Okay? First of all, the Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. So if we're praying the will of God, it's not going to ever go against this. And let me just say this also. We have to be careful, because I've done it, and maybe you've done it too, but I've gone beyond the word simply because somebody preached a certain thing and it sounded good, and I started repeating what I saw somebody else do. Yet I hadn't really given it the time to say, God, what do you say about this teaching? You know, again, the enemy doesn't confront us. He doesn't come directly in our face with it. He slips in some way. He introduces some new thing. You know, we talk about God doing a new thing. Well, sometimes people have gone off the deep end with the new thing, and they've actually gotten into an old thing that's just labeled as a new thing. And the old thing is the old lie of the enemy. It's a deception he's using to deceive you to thinking that this is something that God is doing when he's actually behind it. So we're to put in the whole armor of God. And that's the only way we're going to be able to, by the way, that word armor also has to do with an offensive weapon as well. It's not just defensive, but it's also offensive. So we cannot live in a place of, hear me, passivity. That means we're just kind of in the middle somewhere and we just exist and hope everything will turn out right. We're in a war and we have to wage war. The weapons of our warfare are not of human origin or carnal, but mighty through God. So whether we like it or not, we are engaged in battle, but we have to know how to defeat our adversary. And God is the one who gives us the strategy. He's the one that will direct us in prayer to pray this way. Now, James 4:7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and what? He will flee. First thing, sometimes we just say resist the devil, right? But we need to take this in context. It says, first, submit to God, James 4:7. Submit to God, then resist the devil. In other words, you must be submitted to the will of God before you try to resist the devil. Okay, you and I cannot defeat Satan. We can't. That's God's job. But listen, we're instructed to do what? Resist. You see, we're not going to defeat Satan. Jesus, amen, has really already done that. But he's using him for a season, for whatever he decides to use him for. We know that from other scriptures, that he will be bound. Amen. The Lord himself is going to bind him. Yeah. However, in the earth realm where we have been given authority, we can bind, amen, these demons that come against us. And so what I want to do tonight is hopefully make sure that we understand where our proper authority is as believers, so that we don't step out beyond the bounds that God has set for us. We have to look at Jesus and what he did and look at the apostles at what they did to know how we should also walk. Right? So far? So here it says in Revelation 20 and verse 1, Revelation 20 and verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and did what? Bound him 1,000 years. So this angel, whoever he is, was given authority by God the Father to do what? To bind Satan for what? 1,000 years. Think God has a plan? Yes. So when we say Satan, we need to understand Satan means what? Adversary. It means enemy. But Lucifer, we are not able to bind. No. In the earth realm, there's no weapon formed against us. There's no power that can resist us because the greater one is inside of us. Amen? Than he that is in the world. But hear this, that there are certain places that we are not instructed anywhere in Scripture to go when we engage in spiritual warfare. And I've read all kinds of books and I've done all kinds of stuff with this, and God began to show me and he began to convict me that I was getting into areas that I was not supposed to be involved with. Why? Because I'm to be led by the Spirit in whatever I do. God is the one who is supposed to direct me in spiritual warfare. What to pray, how to pray, what the strategy of the enemy is, where to bind and where to loose. Okay? Now we know that Daniel prayed for, 21 days? And there was a prince of Persia that resisted him. Amen? And who did God send to deal with that prince? Michael. Michael, yes. So do you understand that in the earth realm, our responsibility is a priesthood unto God, and we are to call in the will and the purpose of God into this realm. And we are to pray, listen, to Jesus in the name of the Lord, that He would bind or deal with the princes, the ruling princes, okay? This is what I'm trying to say. And I'm saying this out of love and consideration because we have to be careful that we don't try to take on something that is outside of our echelon or our realm of authority given to us because we mean well, okay? And yet we have to be careful that we're not doing something that Jesus wouldn't do or the disciples didn't do. There are certain governmental structures that God has in place, and the second heaven are where these principalities dwell. And there's a really good book, if you want to read it, it's by John Paul Jackson, it's called Needless Casualties of War. And I think he's right on. And when I read that, it was confirming what I had thought years ago about certain things that I saw happening, and certain things that I had gauged in because I just didn't know any better. I meant well. I have a heart for God. I want to do God's will. We all do. But we've got to be careful because the enemy is very tricky. He's very crafty. And sometimes he gets us running off into some rabbit trail somewhere that's really not where we're supposed to be focusing. Jesus himself is going to bind Lucifer. Amen? These archangels, these principalities, God himself deals with them. What we are supposed to do, if you look at it, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we all know this so well. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray and do what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then God says, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Our responsibility as intercessors, as a priesthood, is to call in God's presence. Amen. Ask the Lord to come in and to deal with these princes and these things over cities and locations throughout the earth. And God will give us wisdom. He'll give us strategies on how to do that. But we have to be careful, folks, that we are not directly confronting them. And in this book, and I've seen it in my own experience, that you can bring all kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble where you're going to start getting the wrong kind of attention because we've stepped out of into some place where we're not instructed anywhere in the scripture to go. So we're not to directly confront these things. On the earth realm, this is where we've been given the dominion. If you go back and you look at it, okay? And even Daniel, he just prayed to God. And God sent the answer and he sent Michael to deal with the prince, amen, of Persia. So this is, I'm saying this only because I care. And I don't want us getting in trouble with these things. We know that we have authority to bind demons, amen, in Jesus' name. So if there's a person who has a spirit in them that is not of God, God told us to go and cast them out. Amen. That's where we're supposed to function. Let me put it to you this way. If we, as God's people, would pay attention to the voice of God, just simply do what he tells us, stay armored up and stay pure. These are the things he's telling us to do. Stay armored up and stay pure. And if you're under submission, then you can resist the devil. Amen. But you resist him where? And mostly, folks, the battle's in your mind. That's where it's at. That's where the battle is. It's in my mind. And if I, as an individual, have taken control of myself, and I've submitted myself to God and to his plan and listened to his voice, then the devil can't touch me. He can't touch me. See, this is where we need to focus. We need to focus because the battlefield really is the mind. And pray that God, yes, will deal with these princes, but focusing mostly on this thing called the flesh. Because if we guard our, if we keep our flesh under submission to God, once again, the devil can't touch us. And I'm going to give you some scripture to back that up. Now, Mark chapter 3, verse 27, Jesus said, "No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." Now, what is the house that Jesus is talking about here? Huh? The human body, yes. So Jesus is speaking to the people who had just witnessed Jesus cast a demon out, and they were saying, "Well, Jesus, you cast demons out by Beelzebub, the prince of demons," you know. And they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That means they were saying that what God was doing was the devil. And so Jesus is talking to them, if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. But he says, if you want to help somebody, you know, you're going to have to deal with the main dude that's giving you trouble. If there's a strong man inside somebody's body, the devil wants to possess us just like the Holy Spirit does. Amen? And so if there's a demon or a spirit, you got to bind the strong man. That's where we have authority. You bind him up. And it's in the sense that we are allowing or disallowing. How are we doing this? We can bind on earth what God is binding in heaven. We can loose or release on earth what God is releasing in heaven. And that comes through revelation. That comes through hearing the voice of God. Otherwise, we get into flesh, we get into self and what we think is a good idea, but we start stepping outside of the acceptable bounds. Amen. I mean, I've been guilty of this. I've done things that were good things, but God wasn't really telling me to do those things. Anybody beside myself done that? And we are going to make mistakes, and because that's part of our learning. We make mistakes, but we learn from it. So we want to constantly be teaching. You know, even this film we had Sunday night, you know, there was something in there I learned from. I never thought about that situation with the golden calf. In the sense that they were trying to make holy something that was profane at its root, you know. By, well, we'll worship Yahweh with it, you know. You can't do that. And so, understand that we're in this together, we're learning together, but we've got to maintain, and I've got to maintain a teachable spirit. I dare not get up here and pretend that I've got it all figured out and I know it all. Because as soon as I think I know it all, God turns the heat up and shows me how little I know. So we're learning together in this thing. Amen. God has shown me much, but compared to what is available, I know very little. Okay. But what I do know, and I'm convinced of, that's those are the things that I will share with you. And if you didn't know these things, then you can learn from them. Now, our foes are so numerous and mighty that unless we are clothed with God's divine armor, victory will be impossible. In other words, we're so inundated all the time with the opposition of the enemy. We see it in our society more than ever now, don't we? I mean, it's disgusting, the things that are happening. It's hell is being vomited out in our nation today. You just see it. It's like the devil is vomiting all this stuff out. And we as God's people can only be safe in Christ. We can only be safe in the will, the purpose of God. We can only be safe in His armor. We can only be safe in the place where He puts us. And we can function from the place of our authority that He's given us. You understand? And not to go beyond where God has actually placed us on the earth. Even as it relates to believers in the body of Christ, we all carry a different level of authority. And that authority is based upon our obedience to God and our intimacy with Him. Because intimacy with God is impossible without obedience. And when God knows that we're trustworthy, He will entrust more to us. See how important it is for us to say, "Yes, God, I'm willing to go with You." Amen? Because first of all, I don't want to open up a door to my adversary because he's out to get you. You know, and a lot of the problems we've had in this world is simply because we've listened to the wrong voice. And that's why we need the truth. That's why we need God's word to help us understand what God says. So Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent, Genesis 3 and verse 1, was what? More cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? He questions God's authority. He questions God's word. Do you know what the devil also tries to get us to do? To adjust this word to fit our own life. Well, I don't really like that, so I'm going to adjust it to fit me. That's what he said to Eve. Just adjust what God said. You don't need to literally take what God said. You know, just make a little adjustment to that and make it suit yourself. And that was the first time that people bowed down, you know, to the adversary, to the devil, the serpent. And he was more cunning. And that means that he's, you know, he uses stealth rather than power. And he seeks to deceive and betray rather than to destroy by brute force. You ever notice that? He doesn't come right up to you and go, argh! Well, maybe some people that don't know God, but if we know God, he's not going to confront you face to face. He knows he ain't going to get anywhere that way. So he's going to try to wiggle his way into your life somehow. So he's cunning. And the only hope we have to defeat him is the voice of God. To hear the voice of the Spirit who will say, hey, pay attention. You know, does it look like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it walk like Jesus? If it doesn't, out. Amen? So what I'm saying is we need to sometimes undo some of the things we've been taught. Because if we've been received wrong doctrine or wrong teaching about something, it can become a stronghold and a place where the enemy can actually get in and work because it's not in agreement with God's revelation. And again, I've read books, especially when I was a newer Christian, and I've read books and, oh, that sounds good. And I go out and I start doing what the book said and never even checked the word, you know. It just kind of seemed like a right thing to do. Yeah, so you got to know this book, amen. You know, they asked Billy Graham, he's in his last days, you know, and they said, if you had to do anything over again, what would you do? He says, I would spend more time in the book than in books. That's Billy Graham talking there, you know. Now, I'm not against good books. There's some good books out there, but you got to have a foundation in the book. So you can say, yeah, that's agreeing with other scriptures. We have to rightly divide the word. Amen? All right. So Satan does not carry on an open warfare. He's slick. He's subtle. He doesn't come up to us face to face. He advances covertly. You know, I was watching something the other day of some of our military technologies that we're coming up with now. And I don't know if it was the Star Wars or something. They had the invisible. No, it was maybe it was Star Wars or one of them, Star Trek. They had an invisibility cloak. I think it was Star Wars, right? Star Trek. Okay. Well, do you know that they're actually even developed these types of technologies where a soldier can put on a certain device that can make him appear invisible? And so if you think about it, our enemy is invisible. You know, it wouldn't be nice if we could always see where he's at. And I've had some people talk about always seeing demons everywhere they go. And some of those people I have to question whether they don't have one in them. Are you hearing me? You know, because we've cast demons out of people that were always seeing demons. Yeah. But so we have an invisible enemy. And he's got that cloak of invisibility, but we have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to protect us and to give us discernment so we can tell what he's up to. And so God wants all of us as his church to be wise to the strategies of the enemy. Because he's not stupid, folks. People laugh and mock Satan. And they say, that stupid devil. The devil is not stupid. He's smarter than we are. He's been along and he's learned how to study. He studied us a long time and how to get in. So we can only say, I'm not that wise. I need his wisdom. Amen. I need to forsake my own wisdom. And I need God's wisdom about these matters. Even about your families and the loved ones that you're praying for and, you know, who you need to pray for and how to pray for people. It's not enough just to pray for people, but we need to know how, right? How to correctly do that. And what do? We're supposed to pray the will of God. So we need to be constantly on the alert. He presents the world to us in an alluring way. What was that guy was talking about, you know, putting lipstick on a pig the other night? But that's what he does. He takes something that's hideous and he dresses it up. And he tries to make it look alluring. Look at our children's cartoons. They're full of occult symbolism and demons and ugly things. And now they've made toys out of demons, you know? I mean, they're really pictures of demons of the unseen world, you know, of the dark world. And the cute little troll, since when is a troll cute? A troll is symbolic of a demon. Did you know that? Did you know that fairies are also symbolic of demons? Those are actually demons, demon spirits. And they think, oh, fairies are cute and they have pretty little wings and they go around with what? Fairy dust. Demonic power. Now we've got to get this stuff out of the toy box because it's causing turmoil, isn't it? In our children. You know, the reason why a lot of kids are having trouble is because of the stuff in their toy box. It's because of the videos and the things that they're feeding their brains with. Yeah. And the enemy's very slick and he's working hard to get this generation. So what else he does? He leads us in self-indulgence until we're trapped. He invites us, listen, to engage in pleasures that on the surface seem to be harmless. It's just harmless pleasure. Is God against pleasure? No. But what he does is he uses pleasure to seduce us away from the will of God. Come on. Well, I can't be in church on Sunday. The football game is playing. You know? We've got priorities here, you know, the Seahawks. You know what? The Seahawks didn't hang on that cross and bleed and die for me. I'm not against the Seahawks. I hope they win. But folks, that is not our priority. Amen. Our priority is God and the kingdom of God. And people are dying and going to hell without Jesus. And we need to wake up and realize that we're being seduced by things that are pleasurable and may not be evil in themselves, but they can lead us into trouble. They lead us away from God. And I want to bring in one more scripture tonight. Well, maybe two. 1 John 5:18, and we went through this a couple weeks ago, but I want us to look at this a little bit, dissect it. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Oh, man, I was like, I must not be born again then. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Let's look at that again. Verse 18, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5, 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That means does not habitually practice sin. Their life is not characterized by sin. But he who has been born of God does what? Keeps himself. That really means guards himself. I have to keep myself pure. I have to keep myself armored up. Because if I don't, I'm vulnerable to be touched by the enemy. Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. You understand? There is a place of security in God. He is our strong tower. He is our place of safety. Our refuge is in God. In Christ I am safe. In Christ I am protected. He has hidden me away in Christ and God. A bottle inside a bottle, amen? But it's abiding in Him, staying armored up in Him. Every day, put on through prayer, put on this armor of God, amen? And guard yourself. Don't allow yourself to let through your eye gates, your ear gates, or even what you say to open a door to the adversary. Keep yourself, and the wicked one will not be able to touch you. You see, that's where the battle's at, folks. It's not in all the principalities and powers and these things. It's about you and I taking assessment of our own lives and saying, you know what? I need to submit myself to God. This is what God wants. This is really what He wants us to do. If my people, if the believers in America would all take heed to what God is saying and submit ourselves to Him, humble ourselves, pray and seek His face, then you know what God would do? He says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin and heal your land. What does that mean? That means that God Himself is going to take a hand in the princes and principalities. He's going to deal with them. Thank you. We're not going to be able to deal with them, folks, until we deal with us. When we deal with us, then God deals with them. Okay? Okay? This is the truth. This is the word. Because we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble if we step outside of those bounds. I've seen people lose their mind messing around in spiritual warfare and not doing it correctly. You know, I had a friend of mine who was constantly, he got into this phobia, actually, where, you know, everything was demons and doorknobs. And, you know, he was kind of like on a witch hunt all the time. And what he was doing is he was putting his focus in the wrong place, you know, and he was focusing on those things rather than on Christ. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated. He is our focus. We behold and adore and worship God, and we keep ourselves. He protects us, and He deals, if we do it corporately, He deals with those territorial spirits, because the people in that place or that location or that region have repented. And then the land is healed, because the reason why we're having drought and fire and these things is because the land in America has become defiled through the sins of the people. Amen? Isn't that right? Through the Old Testament, you see it. Nothing has changed. But we have the answer. We are the solution. We are His representatives. We are His ambassadors to call in the kingdom. I watched a film, it's called Furious Love, I believe it is, but it was about this Indian pastor from India that got woke up every morning around 3 o'clock, and the Lord would give him his instructions for the day and say, tomorrow I want you to go into such and such a place, and I want you to speak such and such to him or this person or that person. And so he was very specifically guided by the Holy Spirit. And what he did, he didn't just go out and say, hey, this sounds like a great idea, let's go do this. He got his instruction. And the next day, and one day, he got this instruction from the Lord. He said, I want you to go to this high mountain where there's a very high-powered witch doctor who has been cursing people and they die. He's cursed pastors and they've died. Okay? Now, the reason he could do that is obviously there was some compromise going on. Amen? Because the devil can't touch a Holy Ghost-filled person. I'm not worried about the devil. Amen? I do have to keep myself like everybody else. But he said, I want you to go to this man. And so he went up there. He took a team. They filmed this. It's on film. Took the cameras. And they'd never been there before. They went up. And they knocked on their little hooch, their little house. The voice from within was the wife. She said, get out of here. We don't want to talk to you. They didn't even see him. The demons had already warned them. They were on their way. Yeah. So they said, come on, we want to pray. Can we pray for you? No, go away. Go away. So they said, okay. And he just simply turned around, and in just a very humble fashion, he just prayed. And this is how he prayed. Thy kingdom come. He said, Father, let your kingdom come here to this place. Just like that, just clasp his hands And they all, there's three of them there, and they agreed. And all of a sudden, hey, what did you do? I'm blind. The guy went blind, okay? And the demons drove him away. They went back a couple days later, and she had not seen him since. He had disappeared, okay? But it was from that prayer. And all of his power was broken instantly, just because they had agreed according to the will of God. And that's what God is calling us to do. And that's how it works. It starts with the individual, living right, living pure before God, listening to his voice and following his instruction. And pray with me, amen, that God will continue to give me direction too as a shepherd here. I don't want to in any way lead anyone astray. I fear the Lord, you know, and I want to do it his way. So Satan seeks to draw us out of step with God's divine order. And again, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, right? These are the sons of God. So the question I have is, are you being led by the Holy Spirit daily? Do you follow the lead of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, Romans 8:14, we just read it, that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Can I make a confession to you? I don't walk as closely as I should. I try. But I have weak moments. I have times when I get distracted. I have things that are constantly coming against me to try to get me busy. When I should be able to give myself more to prayer and then fasting and to the Word. But there's just times when I get distracted too. And the Holy Spirit has to reel me in and say, hey, what are you doing? Are you hearing me? And I believe as a body, as a church, the solution to Shelton and the evils that we're dealing with right here begins with the individual. Each one of us submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil, and then coming together as the body of Christ and praying for God's reign, kingdom reign, to come into this place. And we've been doing it, amen. We're praying on Friday nights. We're praying, but we want to pray correctly and do it that way so that we're not stepping out into areas that really God hasn't called us to go. Jesus will deal with those things, okay? But we pray the will of the Father, which is his kingdom to come on earth, and his will to be done also in our personal lives. And if the church in America, I'm just speaking of America, would come together, seek God's face, turn to him with their whole heart, you know, then America would be turned around. Do you understand, folks? It's not those bad people over there committing abortions. Such were some of us. Amen. Such were some of you. I mean, such were some of us. I mean, I'm not going to go into my past. Okay. But thank God there's mercy, that I found mercy and grace at the cross. God was merciful to me. God forgave me. And God gave me hope and a new big beginning. I'm born again. I have a new life in Christ. And now God says, walk with me. And when you walk with me and you guys come together in unity and you begin to agree, then I will hear from heaven. Amen. There will come the sound of the mighty rushing wind from heaven. There will be a fresh Pentecost and an outpouring of God's glory, even not in this place, but we pray, God, let it go throughout this city. Amen. Because we're having times of refreshing here, but I believe there's much more that God wants to do even here. We got to have a hunger for that. Amen. For his presence, and that through you and through me, God's going to touch the people, amen, that live all around us, and that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They'll be escape the snares of the devil, so that they will come to a place, even as they did in other places, in other regions throughout history, including the early church, where they say, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? It has to be a sovereign move of God's Spirit. And he will do it if his people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. We got to quit pointing the finger. Amen. We don't agree with these things. We don't tolerate them. We fight against them, I'm saying. But we have to take responsibility for our own actions. And if the church will do that, then God will intervene on our behalf and he will give us victory. And he will make America great again. Come on. Donald Trump is not going to make America great again. Amen. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that makes America great. And God's people saying, Lord, we agree. As in heaven, so let it be here. We pray His kingdom to come and will to be done. Amen.